We have not seen anyone like our beloved Satguru. My Satguru is great. We haven't seen anyone as great as him. This is the Bhajan Hamare Pyare Satguru Jaisa on page 261. He is owner of both the worlds. He is the one who dwells in the hearts of the world. He is the knower of all the hearts. He is the one who knows the matters of all the hearts. His form is the form of Shelad. Such a form we have seen with our eyes. He alone who is capable of seeing him sees him. And when he sees him, keeps seeing him, becomes wonderstruck. His form is loving, his face is loving, and the beholder becomes his after seeing him. He is the attractive one, the one who is liked by the mind. Such a beloved we all have seen. Probably every eye saw him, but of course through his own angle of vision. But he who saw him lovingly came out of this midstream. He is a great ferryman. We have seen him taking a fully loaded ship. Dear one, Guru Kripal is that ferryman. He is the beloved of beloved Sawan. Dear one, Kripal is the ocean of grace. Ajaib loves him more than his life. He is the most beautiful one. He who saw him became his. We have not seen anyone like our beloved Satguru. My Satguru is great. We haven't seen anyone as great as him. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 261.
Hamare pyare Satguru jaisa humne na koi aur dekha hamare pyare Satguru jaisa humne na koi aur dekha ve Satguru jaisa humne प्यारी मुराद प्यारी सूरत देखने वाला उनका हो जाइए देखे तो देखने वाला देखे देखे तो देखता ही रह जाइए प्यारी मुराद प्यारी सूरत देखने वाला उनका हो जाइए मनमोहक मन को बने वाला मनमोहक मन को बने वाला मन भवन हम सब ने देखा हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा हमने ना कोई और देखा हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा हमने ना कोई और देखा देखा तो शायद हर नजर ने देखा अपने अपने ख्याल से जिसने भी उनको प्यार से देखा निकला वो इस मझदार से देखा तो शायद हर नजर ने देखा अपने अपने ख्याल से जिसने भी उनको प्यार से निकला वो इस मझदार से वे तो है नेक महान नवीका वे तो है नेक महान नवीका बड़कार नावल जाते देखा हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जे हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा हमने ना कोई और देखा वे नाविक गुरु कृपाल है प्यारे सावन प्यारे का प्यारा कृपा का सगाड़ कृपाल है प्यार जन से भी प्यारा वे नाविक गुरु कृपाल है प्यारे सावन प्यारे का प्यारा कृपा का सगाड़ कृपाल है प्यारे जब को जन से भी प्यारा वे जिसने देखा हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा हमने ना कोई और देखा हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा हमने ना कोई और देखा वे तो हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा हमने ना कोई और देखा हमारे प्यारे सतगुरु जैसा।
not seen anyone like our beloved Satguru. My Satguru is great. We haven't seen anyone as great as him. I want to start today by reading first chapter, or most of the first chapter, of the Sanchi's book, The Jewel of Happiness. This first chapter is called The Remembrance of God, and it is devoted to Simran, as the title indicates. And Sanchi makes some very important points in the course of this, which deserve our full attention, as he would say. This book is a commentary on Guru Arjan's great hymn, the Sukhmani, which is one of the foundational parts of the Guru Granth Sahib, and is memorized by devout Sikhs, along with a Japji and a two or three others. And Sukhmani means the jewel of happiness. That's a literal translation. So it begins, the hymn begins, I bow to the Adi Guru, I bow to Jagat Guru, I bow to Satguru, I bow to Gurudev. And Sanchi says, in this hymn, Sri Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj first of all bows down to the Almighty One. He says, I bow down before the Anami Master, the Absolute Master. I bow down before the Infinite Shabad Master. And I bow down before the Perfect Living Master. Do Simran. Achieve happiness by doing Simran. Remove the afflictions of mind and body. The Guru lays great emphasis on doing Simran, or the remembrance of God. In the old days, the perfect masters first required their disciples to perfect their Simran. Only after they had done that were they given the sound current. In the present time, the saints have showered much grace on the soul. Now they give Simran and initiation into the sound current at the same time. Because in the days when they were giving the sound current only after the disciple had perfected Simran, what would often happen? Either the master would leave the body before the disciple had perfected his Simran, or the disciple would finish his journey through the world before he could perfect his Simran and get the sound current. In either case, the work of the disciple remained incomplete. So in this age, the masters have showered much grace and are giving both the sound current and Simran at the same time, at the time of initiation. Simran is the only means to reach the Dunatmak Nam, which we are supposed to catch. But we don't know the value of Simran, and therefore we do not put enough emphasis and effort into doing it. Because we don't know its value, we are not able to appreciate it. Simran has a lot of power in it, and only if our Simran is perfected can we catch the Dunatmak Nam, the sound current that will pull us up. No matter how much or how loud the sound we are hearing, that sound will not be able to pull our soul up if our Simran is not perfected. So Guru Arjan says, do Simran and do Simran. By doing Simran, you will be able to get rid of the evils of your body, lust, anger, greed, attachment, and egoism. By doing Simran, you can easily overcome these evils. Remember him who sustains the world. By meditating on his Nam, many got liberation. Now everybody is doing the Simran of his work or activity. The shopkeeper is doing the Simran of his shop. Women are doing their Simran. They are remembering their duties. The clerk is remembering what he has to do in the office. In this way, everybody is remembering the activities of the world in which he is involved. Because we are all involved in doing the Simran of the world, we are always having worldly thoughts, and we are always involved in worldly pursuits. That's why the Simran of the world, the remembrance of the world, brings us back into the world. It does not allow us to become liberated from this world. But Guru Arjan says that you should do the Simran of such a power which can liberate you from this world. By doing that Simran, you will not have to come back into this world. The good pious words of the Vedas, Puranas, and Simritis declare that the name of God is the only true word. The 27 Shastras, 18 Puranas, and 4 Vedas are the holy scriptures of the Hindu religion. Guru Arjan says, I have read all these holy books and I have found only one thing, emphasis on doing Simran. One cannot get emancipation except through the Simran of the Lord. One in whose heart his name is caused to dwell even a little bit, his glory cannot be described. The glory of Simran cannot be described. Even if one has done only a little bit of Simran, still the glory of that Simran cannot be described in words. Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj says, if one remembers him with all his attention, even for a moment, he also can become free from the clutches of Kal. There was an initiate of Master Sawan Singh who was a school teacher. He used to do Simran in the morning while going for his morning walk. Once he was so much absorbed in doing Simran that he did not realize he had walked for 13 miles. Realizing that he had come so far, he asked how far he was from Ludhiana, the place where he was living, and was told it was 13 miles. The people there wanted to arrange for his transportation back to Ludhiana, but he said, no, I will go back with the same power who has brought me here. I still have the Simran which has brought me here. So when we are doing Simran, we should never remember our body. We should not have even a little bit of awareness of our body or our mind. Nanak says, liberate me with those who yearn to have your darshan. Now Guru Arjan says to the Lord, O Lord, bless me with the company of those who have the desire of getting your company and those who have become one with you, so that I may also get liberation by being in the company of those who have become one with you. Just as iron floats on the water if it is accompanied by wood, if you will bless me with the company of those who are one with you, I will also get liberation. The ambrosial nam of the Lord is the jewel of happiness which resides in the devotees of the Lord. This bani or writing, which is called Sukhbani, or the jewel of happiness, does give happiness to the mind, but only because it sings of that which is the real jewel of happiness, the nam of the Lord, who resides in the devotees of the Lord. By doing the Simran of the Lord, one does not return to the womb. By doing the Simran of the Lord, the fear of Yama runs away. This is the importance of Simran. By doing Simran, we do not have to come back into the womb of the mother again. We do not have to take birth in this world again. Further, the angel of death cannot come near us. We become free from the fear of him. If we do Simran, we can become free from the problems and pains of this world also. By doing the Simran of the Lord, Kal cannot approach. By doing the Simran of the Lord, the 5 enemies go away. If we are doing Simran, Kal does not come near us, because behind the Simran given by the perfect master, the charging and the power of the perfect master is working. The perfect masters do not give us the Simran which they have heard from others. They give us the Simran which they have meditated upon and perfected. Behind the Simran given by the masters, the strength of the master power is working. By doing such Simran, even our enemies leave us. Our greatest enemy is the mind, which is residing within us. If we are doing Simran, the mind comes under our control and we can easily dominate it. Guru Nanak says that by doing the repetition of the name of the Lord, our mind, which is wandering here and there very swiftly like a deer, comes under our control if we are remembering the name of the Lord. By doing the Simran of the Lord, no obstacles come. By doing the Simran of the Lord, one remains awake day and night. If we are doing constant Simran, we will not have to face any obstacles and our body will not have any pain. If we are doing constant Simran, we wake up in Simran and sleep in respect to the world. Everyone knows how sleep bothers the dear ones. Sleep is dominating us very much. That's why it's a problem. But if we wake ourselves up in the Nam, then there is no problem. Those who wake up in the Nam, even if they do not sleep for 3 or 4 nights, will not have any problem, because Nam has such strength, such power in it. By doing the Simran of the Lord, fear is not felt. By doing Simran, pain does not affect us. By doing Simran, our willpower gets increased, and whatever fear of the world we have goes away. We have fear of the world only as long as we are doing bad deeds, as long as we are involved in sin. But once we manifest the truth within us, and once we realize what the truth is, and once our willpower is increased, we need not be afraid of the world. Once we attain that condition, we always see the world as Lord and God. Because we have recognized the power of God, we need not be afraid of the world. The Simran of God resides with the true devotee. Nanak says the devotion of the Lord is the treasure house of all riches. Can we get the Simran by ourselves? Can we achieve Simran by our own efforts? Guru Arjan says, no, you cannot achieve Simran by yourself. If you will go in the company of a perfect master, a perfect sadhu, and if that perfect master or sadhu is gracious on you, and if graciously he gives you the Simran on which he has meditated and which he has perfected, only then will you be able to have it. This Simran is the abode of all happiness, and by doing it, one gets the happiness of all the world. Kabir Sahib says, O Kabir, in the company of the sadhu, God is remembered. Only the moments which we have spent in the company of the masters are counted. All other moments are wasted. By doing the Simran of God, one gets supernatural powers and the 9 treasures. By doing the Simran of God, one gets knowledge, meditation, and understanding. If we are doing Simran, the supernatural powers come under our control, but the satsangis are told not to use them. Those who are doing the meditation of on Nam, the supernatural powers are their slaves. By doing Simran, knowledge comes within us. What knowledge? The knowledge of God, that God is all-pervading and is working within us. The Simran of God is worship, repetition, austerities. By doing the Simran of God, duality vanishes. If we are doing constant Simran, we are getting the benefits of repetition or japa, performing austerities or tapa, and all the rites and rituals. If we are doing constant Simran, the sense of duality leaves from within us, and we see God working at every place. When we see God working at every place, we don't call anything bad or good. Guru Nanak says, O Lord, when you have made all this creation, whom can we call the bad ones? We see God working in everybody. For us, God is everywhere. For us, God is good. One who does the Simran of God is the real pilgrim. One who does Simran is honored in the court of the Lord. In India, people go to holy places. and bathe in holy water to remove the dirt of the sins which they are carrying. There are many temples and holy places, and at each of them there is a pond of water, and of each one it is believed that whoever bathes in that particular holy place will become free of sin. But Guru Nanak says about those places that the so-called holy waters also want some saint to come and put his feet in the water. That water is carrying the sins of all those who come and bathe there, and is longing for the dust of the feet of the master, so that it can become free of the sins of those people. The truth is, as Guru Arjan says, that those who are doing the Simran of God get the benefit of bathing in all the holy places and of all the pilgrimages while they are sitting at home. If one is doing the Simran of the Lord, he has given respect in the court of the Lord. One who does the Simran of God gets all things done in a good way. One who does the Simran of God reaps the fruit. It is always good for us to do the Simran of the Lord. When we do the Simran of the Lord, he always gives us the benefits. Only those who are made to do his Simran do it. Nanak says, I touch their feet. This is a matter that requires great understanding. When we know how important it is to do Simran, when we know its value and what we get from doing it, when we know it is so beneficial, why can't we do it? By listening to talks on the importance of Simran, everybody will feel like doing it. But Guru Arjan asks, is it possible for everyone to do Simran? And replies, no, it is not possible. It is not in our control to do Simran unless God showers grace on us. Only he can do the Simran of God, on whom God showers grace. Guru Arjan in another place says, O Lord, if it had been in our hands, then why would we have gone away from you? Now when we are weeping in your separation, if it were in our hands, why would we stay separated? Hazur Maharaj Kripal Singh Ji used to say, it is not in the hands of the blind man to go and touch the man who has eyes, unless the man who can see calls the blind one to come and take his hand, he cannot do it. In the same way, unless God showers grace on us and links us in the company of those who have done Simran, and unless he gives us Simran through a perfect master, we cannot do it. If we are fortunate and God wants to shower grace on us, then he brings us in the company of such a Mahatma. And when that Mahatma or Master gives us the Simran in all his grace and glory, and when he makes us do that Simran, only then can we do it. Otherwise, it is not in our hands. The Simran of the Lord is the highest. By doing the Simran of the Lord, many have swum across. Those who are doing the Simran of the Lord go to the highest place, Sach Khand, and by doing the Simran of the Lord, they bring many other souls to that place. Kabir Sahib says, even a leper from whom a bad smell is coming, who is doing the meditation of Naam, is better than one who has a body of gold, who is not doing the Simran. By doing the Simran of God, the desires are extinguished. By doing the Simran of God, everything is seen clearly. The desires which have made us a mad dog and are leading us like a mad dog, taking us here and there, if one is doing the Simran of the Lord, even if he is ridden with desires, he gets contentment and all his desires and madness go away. Those who achieve this come to know everything. That is, they come to have the knowledge of the Lord. They know that except God, there is nothing. By doing the Simran of God, the fear of Yama goes away. By doing the Simran of God, all desires are fulfilled. If we are doing the Simran of God, the angels of death cannot stop our course, cannot frighten us, and cannot give us any trouble. If we are doing the Simran of the Lord, whatever desires or needs we have in this world, He fulfills, and we become free of all desires. By doing the Simran of God, the dirt of mind is removed, and the nectar of Nam dwells within us. By doing the Simran, our mind, which is laden down with dirt from ages and ages, becomes free from it. The dirt is washed away. By doing the Simran, the nectar of Nam starts flowing within us, by drinking which our soul becomes immortal. God resides on the tongue of the saint. Nanak says, I am the servant of the servants of God. Guru Arjan Dev is asking, where does God reside? Does he reside in America or Africa or any other country? Does he reside in any city or village or town? Does he reside in a temple or church or any other holy place? Tell me, where does God reside? If he were residing in the churches, the Christian priests would have found him. If he were residing in the temples, the Hindu priests also would have found him. If he were residing in the Gurdwaras, the Bayas, or the Sikh priests also would have found him. Then there would have been peace all over the world. The problems which we now have regarding religions, the conflicts which one religion has with another, we would not have seen. People would not hate each other or care about the difference of black and white. But this is not the way of the world. Everywhere people are fighting in the name of religion. Everywhere injustice prevails. Guru Arjan replies to his own question. He says that God resides on the tongue, that is, in the words of the sadhu. That is why Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj says, I am the servant of such masters in whose words God is residing. Kabir Sahib also says, I am the servant of those sadhus who have controlled their minds. Kabir Sahib says in another place, my mind became a bird and went into the heavens. To my surprise, I saw that the heavens were empty and God was residing within the saints. Guru Nanak says, God always resides in the human form of a saint. Whenever he wants to come into this world, he takes on the form of a saint. He comes as a human being and resides in the world. Those who remember God are truly wealthy. Those who remember God are truly honored. Who is wealthy? Who is honored in this world? Only those who meditate on the Nam of the Lord and who do the Simran of the Lord are wealthy, and only they are truly honored. Neither the riches of this world nor the honors of this world will go with us. Only the meditation of Nam and the Simran of the Lord will go with us. That's why Guru Arjan calls those who are doing the Simran of the Lord the wealthy ones and the honored ones. Those who remember God are welcomed. Those who remember God are the highest men. Those who remember the Lord constantly, who are doing the Simran of the Lord constantly, only they are well respected, only they are welcomed in the court of the Lord, and only they are given the highest places in the court of the Lord. Those who remember God are independent. Those who remember God are the rulers of all. Those who remember God become independent. They do not remain dependent on others. They are the only true kings in the world because they rule over the hearts of the people. Those who remember God dwell in the real happiness. Those who remember God become indestructible. Those who remember the Lord constantly become the abode of happiness, and they become indestructible. They never come to an end. Guru Nanak says, my Satguru always remains in life. He never comes, he never goes. He is the indestructible person, and he is all-pervading. Only those upon whom he showers grace gets attached to Simran. Nanak prays for the dust of their feet. Guru Arjan says that he longs for the dust of the feet of those who have applied themselves to Simran and those who are doing Simran day and night. Those who remember God are the true philanthropists. I sacrifice myself on those who remember God. One who does the Simran of the Lord, or one who repeats the name of the Lord, becomes the true benefactor or philanthropist. He works for the benefit of other people in this world. Now, this is very important to understand properly. Who truly helps others? Who can really be called a great benefactor? Master Kripal Singh used to explain this by giving the example of a prison. Suppose there is a prison in which there are many prisoners who are in poor condition. One good man comes there and he sees that the condition of the prisoners is not good. They are not getting good food, and their health is not being taken care of. So he donates a lot of money to the prison and arranges for good food and medical care for them. He's done a very good thing for the prisoners, but still, they remain prisoners. Another benefactor comes and observes that in winter there is no heat, and they don't even have good blankets or bedding. So he also spends money and provides them with blankets and bedding. In this way, he has also done a good job for the prisoners. But still, they remain in the prison. Another benefactor comes and sees that in summer it is very difficult for the prisoners because there are no fans and the ventilation is poor. So he spends money and puts in fans and a ventilation system. He improves the condition of the prisoners. But still, they remain prisoners. Still, they are in jail. One more benefactor comes there, and he has the key to the prison. He says, come on, dear ones, I have the key to this prison, and I am opening this door for you. Those who want freedom, just go out. If we compare the actions of all four benefactors, we will come to the conclusion that the one who had the key to the prison was the most effective because he set the prisoners free. The other ones no doubt did good things for the prisoners, but they were only able to improve the condition of the prisoners as prisoners. They could not completely change their condition and set them free. In the same way, in this world we may find many philanthropists or benefactors who work for the benefit of the people, but only the master who has Nam with him can be called the great benefactor, because only he has the key to our freedom. If he showers grace on us, we can become free from the miseries of the world. Only the master who has the key of Nam, the key to the court of the Lord, only he can set us free from the prison of this world. Because this world is a big prison, maintained by the negative power in which we are all suffering, only the Satguru has the key, and only he can set us free. Kabir Sahib says, the river flows for the benefit of others, not itself. The trees bear fruit for the benefit of others, and the rain showers water for the benefit of others. The saints also take up the body and come into this world only for the benefit of others. They don't have any other purpose. Ever since our soul was separated from God, it has taken up the bodies of animals, trees, and many other forms of life. But he comes into this world taking up the human body only for the benefit of our soul. So Guru Arjan says here that those, the masters of the saints, who do the Simran of the Lord, within them comes the power of working for the benefit of others. And, he says, I sacrifice myself on them, and I sing praises of those who have become the form of the Lord by doing the Simran of the Lord. The faces of those who remember God are bright. Those who remember God live happily. In the court of the Lord, the only faces which are glorified and respected are those of the souls who are doing the Simran of the Lord. Those who do the Simran of God have conquered themselves. Those who do the Simran of God are pure and true. Now Guru Arjan tells us what the power of Simran is and up to what point Simran can carry us. Only through Simran can we withdraw our attention from the body and concentrate it at the eye center. When we do Simran, we start cutting ourselves off from the world. And when we withdraw all our attention from the body, bring it to the eye center, when all our consciousness is gathered there, we will cross the stars, moon, sun, and then we will come to the radiant form of the Master. The Master is always waiting for us. As soon as we cross the stars, moon, and sun, we will meet him. That form of the Master will tell us to catch the Shabad Dun, and he will take us above. But Simran is the only thing which can take us up to the radiant form of the Master. The Guru says that by doing Simran of the Lord, one conquers the world, because when the mind is conquered, the world is conquered. If we conquer our mind by doing the Simran of the Lord, we can bring even the creator of this world into our control. Those who remember God, their happiness is dense. Those who remember God live near him. If there is any real pleasure or happiness in this world, only the people who are doing the Simran of the Lord have it. God is very near to those who will do his Simran. Once there was a king who had several queens, and they were all bathing him. One of the queens was weeping because she had received a letter from her brother saying to come and see him if she wanted, because after a week he was going to become a sadhu. She was very sorry to learn that, and while she was wiping the water from the body of the king, tears fell from her eyes, and the king asked the reason. She told him, but the king said, you shouldn't worry about him. He's not going to turn into a sadhu. Those who become sadhus do not invite their relatives, nor do they announce it ahead of time. Those who become sadhus do that without letting anyone know. So you don't need to worry about him. Baba Sawan Singh Ji used to say, those who are shot by the bullet of love become useless for the world. For them, no accounts of the world have any meaning. Then the king said, those who have the yearning for God do not tell people that they are going to leave this world. As soon as the yearning comes within them, they just leave. When we have the desire to get Naam, the yearning comes to us. And the real yearning comes only when Naam is manifested within us. The queens wanted to know what this yearning was. And the king told them, all right, I will show you. From then on, he stopped looking at the queens with thoughts of lust. He completely withdrew from the pleasures of the world. Queens complained to him and asked him why. He replied, a girl plays with dolls as long as she is not married. When she gets married to her husband, she stops playing with dolls because she has a husband and she plays with him. In the same way, a soul plays with toys or worldly things as long as he has not realized the real thing. When a soul gets attached to the Shabad Naam, that soul finds no pleasure in worldly things. And even if one offers him gold and all the riches of the world, still he will never be ready to enjoy worldly pleasures because he has realized the real pleasure of Shabad Naam. Now the king was pretending that he had realized the Shabad Naam and had become a saint. So the queens told him, You are pretending that you have attained the supreme bliss and therefore you don't want to enjoy worldly pleasures. But we are afraid that you're going to repent, like the crane who wanted to leave eating fish and act like swans do. They were referring to a story of a crane who came to a place where swans were living, and he saw that they were not eating fish, because swans do not eat fish and cranes do, although they look alike. And of course, these descriptions of the cranes and the swan are according to Hindu mythology, not according to science. These are well-established mythological motifs in the tradition that has come down, Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Jain, in India. And they're used always, but they don't necessarily reflect scientific truth. When the crane saw that the swans were not eating fish and were drinking coconut milk, he tried to break through the coconut and drink that milk, but he couldn't do it. The crane's companion told him that he should not try to drink coconut milk because the beak of a crane is not as strong as that of a swan. If he tried too hard, he might break his beak and then he wouldn't be able to even eat fish. But the crane thought that there was no difference between him and the swan, and he kept on trying. In the beginning, he drank some of the milk which had been spilled, and he told his companion, "We have been uselessly wasting our energy and eating those fish. This is the only thing which we should drink." But his companion said, "You shouldn't think about it, because you can never drink that milk. Even though you look like a swan, you cannot drink the milk because you don't have that beak. And if you don't eat the fish, you will neither be a swan nor a crane. So forget about it." But he didn't take the advice of his companion. Daily he came to the place where the swans were drinking milk out of coconuts. One day all the swans left, and in their absence the crane tried to break open a coconut and drink the milk. But he couldn't do it because his beak was not as strong as theirs. His beak broke, and he was not even able to catch fish. He couldn't eat or drink anything, and he eventually drowned himself in the ocean. Our condition is also like the cranes. We come to the satsang and we see that Master is just like us. He's also a human being. And when he talks about Shabad Nam and all these things, we think, what is the difficulty in experiencing such things? When we come in the company of the saint, we also try to pretend that we are saints and not less than him. But then we are easily overcome by lust and other things, and we let ourselves go in their direction. Sometimes we come into the satsang and pretend we are good people. But because we are not completely saintly, we can neither enjoy worldly pleasures nor can we realize the real taste of Shabad Nam. Guru Nanak says, we, the worldly people, are hanging between these two things. We are neither saintly nor worldly. When we come into the company of the saints, we want to become saints. We say, what is the difference between me and the Master? But there is a great difference, because the Master has done the Simran of the Lord, and within him, God has kept that power of recognizing the Shabbat, whereas God has not kept that within us. We have to earn it. That is the difference between us and the saint. And along with that, I want to read a brief section from the Crown of Life, Master's great magisterial, Master's masterpiece, as I call it, in which he comments on the same basic point, which is of the utmost importance, I believe, for all initiates to grasp. This is from reading from Chapter 5 in the Crown of Life on Sutta Shabad Yoga. He's explaining about the problems involved with practicing the other yogas, which he has commented on extensively in the first part of the book. When taken as separate, Gnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, all of them are necessary, but when you take one apart from the others, there are problems. And in the path, of course, the Shabad Yoga is in fact a combination of all of those three, plus the fact of the sound current. Master Kripal says, the end of all yoga, as Shankara clarified, is absorption into the Brahman. All the paths therefore aim at samadhi, in which state such experience can be attained. But if Patanjali's system and its derivatives have certain serious drawbacks, it is a question whether the three other major forms are wholly without them. If, with a karma yogin, freedom lies through detachment and desirelessness, is it possible for him to be completely free? Does he not seek emancipation in following his path? And is not that itself a form of desire? Besides, is it psychologically possible for the human mind to detach itself completely from its normal field of experience without first anchoring itself in another and higher one? It is a universal characteristic of man that he seeks kinship with something other than himself. This is the law of his life and source of all his great achievements. The child is bound to his toys, and the adult to family and society. As in the case of a child, you may not without harm deprive him of his playthings until he has outgrown them psychologically. Likewise, to expect the sadhak to give up his social and family attachments without first outgrowing them by discovering something greater and larger is to cut at the root of life. It will not bring progress but regression. For the man who undertakes it as an enforced discipline only succeeds in repressing his natural desires. The result is not the enhancement of consciousness, but its numbing and atrophy, not detachment, but indifference. This, as Mr. T.S. Eliot has pointed out, differed completely from both attachment and detachment, resembling the others as death resembles life, being between two lives, unflowering, between the live and the dead nettle. The discipline of karma yoga is a necessary one, but if it is to fulfill its end, it must be completed by another discipline of an esoteric kind, without which it tends to reduce itself to an ineffectual attempt to lift oneself up by one's shoestrings. And the last word, in Master Kripal's talk, Little Things, which I'm reading from the diary book where it's included, is also in The Coming Spiritual Revolution. He makes a point that echoes a lot of what has just been read. I have seen men, foremost preachers in society, the temperance society, I believe he said, who preach, don't drink, and all the time they are thinking of drinking, are they not? Maybe the word don't is there, but drinking is also there. Then you say, all right, let's see what it's all about. So as you think, so you become. And this, of course, is the whole point of the idea of nonviolence, that we defeat things or accomplish so-called conquest of them by not putting our attention into them. If we put our attention into the things that are basically our enemies, or we see them that way, we become like them. This is the problem with war. It's the problem with a lot of political activity, passing laws and so forth. It's the problem of anything when we decide to attack it headlong. Don't drink. Don't is there, but drink is also there. And that is a huge thing. You know, that oftentimes drowns out the don't. The idea of imitating the master. You know, we have to do our best to make his priorities our priorities. We have to care about the things that he cares about, and to recognize that our freedom lies the more we can identify with that which is his essence. But we cannot really get that way by imitating him. As Sanchi points out very you know, clearly, because we can't do it. We are not him. Cuckoo told me a story that the master told her, or she heard him tell. And I am not absolutely certain if this is a parable or if it's a real story. It could be a real story, but I think it's probably a parable. In any case, she said there were two guys who decided that this day they were going to do everything that the master did. They were going to follow him around, watch what he did, and do it. And that this was going to be their priority. So they started off. They did the various things. The master ate breakfast. They did also like that. And he left his house and walked into a factory where there was, it was like a foundry where there was molten iron was going on. And the master took a cup of molten metal and drank it. And then the two guys called it off. They weren't willing to go with that. And that is why, you know, that makes the point very clearly that we can, you know, do our best. We have to do our best. We care about the moral things, the things that the master talks about, lust, anger, greed, etc. Yeah, we notice, we keep the diary, we notice that these things are there, how they prevent us, how we get obsessed with various aspects of them and how that stands in the way of our meditation. All that we can see, and that's what counts. But, you know, to force ourselves to say, to pretend to ourselves that I have reached this, I have done this, I am this, is, you know, it's poison for us. It leads to death. It's the same kind of problem as if we think we are spiritually advanced, you know. We say, I am spiritually advanced, then we're dead. We have lost all possibility of being spiritually advanced as long as that thought is within us. So that is why, I mean, this is how this all ties together. The constant remembrance of God, the practice of Simran, if that is what our mind is fundamentally involved with, then these other things will take care of themselves. But if it isn't, then they all become real possibilities and they get in our way. You know, it is done by grace, as Sanchi made that point in the beginning of the chapter. It is by grace that it's done. And there's no way we can do it without grace. You know, he wants us to succeed. And these things are not meant to make us feel like, okay, well, who can do this? You know, it's like this is the direction we go in. And if we start in that direction, he takes a million of steps to reach us. And he will take care of us. You know, he will see to it that we succeed. Like the story of the three stuffed chapatis. You know, the master basically stood on his head to get the greedy man to tell the truth. He had to appeal to the greedy man's greed in order to get him to do it. And when the master pulls us, you know, he takes a hold of us. He will use whatever means he has to bring us to him. And if we are greedy, then he may use our greed. Whatever faults we may have, he may use those. But what he cares about is bringing us to him and making us free and showing us what the universe is really all about. And that is our privilege and our reward, the goal of our living. So thank God for the Master is all I can say.
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਮਨ ਪਰੇਸ਼ਾਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੋਈ ਬਿਮਾਰੀ ਆ ਗਈ, ਛੱਡੋ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ, ਰਾਜੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਏ, ਕੋਈ ਹੋਰ ਮੁਕੱਦਮਾ ਬਣ ਗਿਆ, ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਛੱਡੋ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ। ਕਦੇ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਹਾ ਬਈ ਇਹ ਬਿਮਾਰੀ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਤੇਰੇ ਪਿਛਲੇ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਦੀ ਵਜ੍ਹਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਹੈ, ਅਗਰ ਜੇਲ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਮੁਕੱਦਮਾ ਪਿਆ ਹੈ, ਤੂੰ ਠੰਡੇ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਸੋਚ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਮੇਰਾ ਹੀ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਕਰਮ ਹੈ।
Now he said that mind always bothers us. If we get any disease, if we get any sickness, our mind will tell us that give up the master because he is not helping you. If we are trapped in any legal thing, then we say that, then the mind says that give up the master, he's not helping us. But we do not tell our mind that whatever sickness we have got or whatever difficulties in the world we have got, that are the creation of our own mind and that are the reactions of our own past karmas. We do not realize that we are suffering on the account of our own deeds, but we blame our master.
जीव जो है शिष्य जो है वो मरीज है गुरु डॉक्टर है जिस तरह मरीज नु पता नहीं कि मेरा किस दवाई ना फायदा होएगा डॉक्टर तजर्बाकार हुंदा है उसनु पता है कि ए परहेज रख के अगर ए दवाई खाएगा तेरा फायदा हो जाएगा इसे तरह सेवक नु पता नहीं कि मेरा दुख च फायदा है या सुख च फायदा है और संत सतगुरु नु ਪਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਦਾ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੀ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਹੈ
ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਪੇਸ਼ੈਂਟ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਡਾਕਟਰ ਦ ਪੇਸ਼ੈਂਟ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਮੈਡੀਸਿਨ ਇਜ਼ ਗੁੱਡ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ ਐਂਡ ਵਾਟ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਹੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਅਬਸਟੇਨ ਫਰੋਮ ਓਨਲੀ ਦ ਡਾਕਟਰ ਨੋਜ਼ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਦ ਡਾਕਟਰ ਟੈਲਸ ਹਿਮ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਅਬਸਟੇਨ ਫਰੋਮ ਦਿਸ ਸਰਟਨ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਐਂਡ ਟੇਕ ਦਿਸ ਮੈਡੀਸਿਨ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਬਿਕਮ ਆਲ ਰਾਈਟ ਵੈਰੀ ਸੂਨ ਇਨ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਵੇ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਨੋ ਵਾਟ ਇਜ਼ ਗੁੱਡ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ ਵਾਟ ਇਜ਼ ਬੈਡ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ ਵੈਦਰ ਦ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਇਜ਼ ਗੁੱਡ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ ਔਰ ਦ ਪੇਨ ਇਜ਼ ਗੁੱਡ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ Only the master knows. That is why whatever is good for the disciple, master gives him only that. Maajaniharo piva jo kar hai so sab bhala teri budh malin ਮਨ ਚੰਚਲ ਗਾਟਾ ਗਹੇ
ਹੁਣ ਅਸੀਂ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਹੀ ਮਨ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਨਾਲ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਤੋਲਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇੱਥੇ ਮਨ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਦਾ ਕੰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਿੱਥੋਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਅਕਲ ਮਨ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਖਤਮ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸੰਤ ਮਤ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੀ ਉੱਥੋਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ
ਨਾਓ ਵੀ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਵੇ ਦੀ ਕੰਪੀਟੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਯੂਜ਼ਿੰਗ ਅਵਰ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਐਂਡ ਇੰਟੈਲੈਕਟ We do not realize that the santmat starts from the place where our mind and intellect finishes.
Teri bodh malina man chanchal ghata gahe tu nahi jaane ped param jaal mein phas raha
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਮੈਂ ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਕਿਸ ਜੂਨ ਵਿਚ ਸੀ ਉੱਥੇ ਕੀ ਕੀ ਕਰਮ ਕੀਤੇ ਔਰ ਹੁਣ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕੀ ਕਰਨਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਕੀ ਕਰਮ ਕਰਨੇ ਚਾਹੀਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਅੱਗੇ ਮੈਂ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਜਾਊਂਗਾ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਤੂੰ ਪਰਮ ਦੇ ਵਿਚ ਆਇਆ ਪਰਮ ਚ ਰਿਹਾ ਔਰ ਪਰਮ ਦੇ ਵਿਚ ਹੀ ਅੱਗੇ ਜਾਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਫਿਰ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੈ
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਬਿਫੋਰ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਬਾਡੀ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਬਾਡੀ ਯੂ ਵੇਅਰ ਐਂਡ ਵਾਟ ਕਰਮਾਸ ਯੂ ਡਿਡ ਇਨ ਦੈਟ ਬਾਡੀ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਡੋਂਟ ਇਵਨ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਕਰਮਾਸ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਬਾਡੀ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਨਾਟ ਇਵਨ ਅਵੇਅਰ ਆਫ ਯੋਰ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਬਾਡੀ ਯੂ ਡੋਂਟ ਇਵਨ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਦਿਸ ਬਾਡੀ ਵੇਅਰ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਗੋ ਐਂਡ ਵਾਟ ਕਰਮਾਸ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਡੂ ਯੂ ਕੇਮ ਫਰੋਮ ਦਾ ਇਲੂਜਨ ਰਾਈਟ ਨਾਓ ਆਲਸੋ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਇਲੂਜਨ ਐਂਡ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਫਿਊਚਰ ਆਲਸੋ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਨੈਕਸਟ ਬਾਡੀ ਆਲਸੋ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਗੋ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਇਲੂਜਨ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਟ੍ਰੈਪਡ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਇਲੂਜਨ
Of closing bhajan is on page 123. Jutta sansara hai. The world is false, life is destitute. Khan Kapalji, we wait for you, we wait for you. Oh my giver, we are the sinners. Don't look through our papers. The boat is adrift, take it across. Come, beloved, listen to the request, listen to the request. True is your love, we have only your support. We are the dirty ones, clean us, clean us. The soul has to do your darshan, but she is embarrassed. O giver, you forgive, you are the forgiver, you are the forgiver. This is the call of a jab. The heartstring is resounding. The world is false. Life is destitute. Come, Kapalji. We wait for you. We wait for you. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 123.
झूठा संसार है, जिंदगी लाचार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। झूठा संसार है, जिंदगी लाचार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। मेरे दाता जी गुनगार असी साडे कागज न फूलवे, कागज न फूलवे। मेरे दाता जी गुनगार असी साडे कागज न फूलवे, कागज न फूलवे। बेड़ी मंज तार है, कर दे उपार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। झूठा संसार है, जिंदगी लाचार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। आओ प्यारे सुन लो बेनती, सुन लो बेनती। आओ प्यारे सुन लो बेनती, सुन लो बेनती। सच्चा तेरा प्यार है, तेरा ही आधार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। झूठा संसार है, जिंदगी लाचार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। असी मैले सानू उजल कर दे, उजल कर दे। असी मैले सानू उजल कर दे, उजल कर दे। करना दीदार है, शर्मसार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। झूठा संसार है, जिंदगी लाचार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। तुसी बख्शो दाता जी, तुसी बख्शिंद हो, तुसी बख्शिंद हो। तुसी बख्शो दाता जी, तुसी बख्शिंद हो, तुसी बख्शिंद हो। अजैब दी पुकार है, खड़क रही तार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है। झूठा संसार है, जिंदगी लाचार है, आओ कृपाल जी तेरी इंतजार है, तेरी इंतजार है।
O giver, you forgive. You are the forgiver. You are the forgiver. This is the call of a Jayab. The heartstring is resounding. May God bless us all.